You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our fantastic producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, February 5, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day!
There we go. We made it to the middle of the week once again. Want to make sure I don't forget this, Zommers, right away. I like to say all great men were born in February. You have George Washington. You have Abraham Lincoln. And my friend Ryan Lee.
And neither so, Todd nor myself.
Very happy birthday to my friend Ryan Lee, who worked with me in politics in Wisconsin for a long time. He was the best man, he and his lovely wife Rebecca's wedding. And they live out in D.C. now. And so he occasionally tunes in. So I wanted to say happy birthday to him. Big show on this February 5 here on the Albaugh Show. Coming up in hour two, our ongoing series called What's Worse? Your chance to weigh in on the important issues of the day, like self-checkout. So we'll do a What's Worse on checkout in hour number two. That should be a lot of fun. Also, what else we have here? Lots of protests going on. We might touch on those versus what we can do locally. Say, I don't know, maybe in school boards. Brad Schimmel running for attorney general running for state Supreme Court on the conservative side against liberal Susan Crawford, deciding to horse around with some ads. Is that really just a distraction? Might get to that as well. But we begin up north with our friend, our ongoing contributor, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8, the lovely, the talented Patrick Kreitlow. Pat, how are you?
I'm lovely. Maybe not as talented as lovely, but I'll take that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm very jealous. I'm excited because I'm honored because occasionally you're crazy enough to say, well, I got to put somebody in the chair while I'm gone. So I have the honor of hosting Up North News Radio this Friday morning because you're going to go south for a few days. Well-earned rest. And I hope, A, that you have some time away to unplug and get a well-deserved vacation. And number two, I hope we still have a country when you come back.
I'm keeping my passport close.
All right,
and we'll see if it has to be used once or twice or just once. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It's when you first said one of the topics of the show today was self-checkout. Mm-hmm. I thought that was applying to me, like, and all the rest of us who've
right.
had enough of the news and everything, and you just need to self-checkout. And I am going to self-checkout on a beach someplace. And thank you very much for filling in this coming Friday and the following Friday while I'm off all of next week. Mm-hmm. And then Monday through Thursday, for folks who love frequent Civic Media guest Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Yes.
She and producer engineer extraordinaire Greg Bach will be giving us what they like to call Bach in the Dock. Monday through Thursday.
I like that.
Exactly.
Back in the dock.
Yeah. So, I appreciate everybody doing that so that I can get a little R&R.
Well, good for
which
you.
I'm looking forward
That's
to.
Great. Yeah.
And self-checkout.
Yeah, absolutely. If people have not, I mean, I know she appears on your show. She's been on our show occasionally, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. If you have not heard her in her fullness in terms of having like her own hour, she's great. I mean, she's really, really good.
Yes, just a dynamo, and it's just funny because, you know, Sherry, my wife, is an OBGYN, mm-hmm. Dr. Lyerly is an OBGYN, and Sherry's always like, she's like the alter ego or whatever because Sherry has no desire to be on the radio or on TV or any of that. So, I mean, she's very helpful. She will if you really cajole her, whereas Kristen is just so extroverted naturally
right.
that you get the same information from both, just in very different packaging. And the one Kristen always comes with all kinds of goofiness about her, you know, being the dressing up as the gopher when she was going to the University of Minnesota and telling mascot stories and all sorts of other things that I'm sure she and Mr. Bach will have a lot of fun with next week.
Kristen Lierley, Dr. Kristen Lierley, is one of those people. I think the world of her. I love her. But there's a little part of me that just goes, why do some people get everything when God handed out the talent? I mean, she's a freaking physician, OBGYN. She can handle her. She's a great radio host. There's literally nothing I don't think this woman can't do.
And never has a bad day.
Right.
Never has a bad day. Yeah. Is indefatigable. Just amazing. So, yeah, we're very lucky that she wants to spend as much time as she does on the radio with all of us across the network, and happy to let her just kind of take over for a few days.
Well, good for her. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to filling in, as we said, on Friday. I believe Mr. Olson is late for class. Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project.
see if he brought a note.
Zooming in from our nation's capital of Washington, D.C. How are you, Trigby?
I apologize. It's I was fine. Writing something and I got completely lost in it.
Oh, good. I like that. That happens to me all the time. Yeah, I refer to it as a writing jag. You're writing. You're sure you know the time. You're writing, and suddenly you look up and you know the pizza's on fire because you forgot to set the timer, or you're late for your radio show. So yeah, that's the one excuse I accept is in the zone of writing.
It's because we're the same age, Pat. We're single focused.
We're the same age now.
Look at that.
We're making progress.
I'm gonna admit Pat and I were in college at the same time.
This is a nice advancement progress we're seeing from Mr. Olson here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm writing on? I'm writing on all this data that we have, which includes the good folks in Wisconsin about Trump's first week, which is fascinating. Whew. So
fascinating. That's a word for it.
let's take a turn. Speaking of that, Mr. Zomers, if we could go for those watching on the stream to our street cam down on State Street. Well, it's a little, the camera's got tilted up a little bit. We have some protesters walking down State Street right now.
I was going to say, do you have protesters already? Are they coming after you?
Well, that would be something, wouldn't it?
That'd
be
something. The torches and pitchforks for you? That's all we want to know.
Eventually, probably. Okay. But I want to get both your takes on this while we have both of you here. Look, to Trigby's point, it's been kind of a crazy, that's a word for it, right? Crazy. A couple of weeks here in terms of what's going on in Washington. And a lot of people already know what these things are. And we're seeing the tail end for those watching on the stream of people who are protesting or having a peaceful protest demonstration up at the Capitol. And I was talking to Luke Mathers about this morning. Because I have some feelings on this, and I was driving in, and I'm like, Todd, just think about this from somebody else's standpoint. I'm not just part of the 1%. I am part of the 100th or maybe 1 millionth of 1%, because I get the privilege every day of coming in and having a microphone in front of me and getting to vent and say wherever I want 5 days a week. Not everyone, very few people have that privilege. And so I get the fact that people are like, I have to do something. I can't just sit here. And that's fine. Have a peaceful protest or a demonstration. Pat, I want to go to you and then to Trigby. I'm taken back to 2011 in this state when I was working for then Republican State Senator Dale Schultz. Ended up being the only Republican in the state Senate to vote against Act 10. But there were 100,000 people at the state Capitol. And at the end of the day, Pat, it really didn't make any difference. And I had the privilege, I guess, there as well of being on the inside of those rooms. And people looked out on the Republican caucus. There were some of them who were kind of disturbed by it, but most of them kind of just laughed at it. And I'm not really sure what actual effects protesting can do these days.
Well, I definitely agree with your first point that if you don't have access to a microphone, if you're feeling like you've got to do something, you know, peaceful protest is the way to go. You see that you're not alone out there in the world, and you can meet people who, look, when you're all done holding your signs and walking for the day, maybe you've met some people with whom you're going to be working on making phone calls to people. Maybe you're the group that's going to encourage the next candidate to run for state assembly from your hometown. Whatever the case may be, this should always only be the first step. is to say, I'm unhappy about something, and I am petitioning my government to, you know, stand there at the Capitol with my sign with all these other people who want to register their opposition. Fine, that's fine. But yes, turn it into something after that. And, you may end up unseating a governor. It might take you 4 more years to get it done, but you can get that done. You can have that kind of power so long as you, again, turn this into, something more than I'm unhappy today. Okay, I've done my stuff. No, right. There's more work to do.
Trigvy?
I think Pat hit on such an important point, right? What's going on here at a foundational level? And quite frankly, this is maybe biblical. It's a battle between fear and hope. And if you really think about it, the fact that people are making their voices heard, yes, there will be those who don't like it. And those are the people that want to instill fear in others. But the reality is it's demonstrating to people that they're not alone. And I've said this before, one of the things that when I worked around the world with those fighting for democracy in really hard places where democracy doesn't exist is that feeling of loneliness. Am I the only one who feels this way? When in fact, lots of people feel that way. If protesting is kept peaceful, what it does is it gives people hope that I am not alone. I'm not the only one who's troubled by what's happening here. That is key.
I appreciate both you guys bringing that because you're right. It is a great point, Pat. I also want your take on both of yours. We'll start with you, Pat. To your point of putting it into action, I do follow some Republican or MAGA sites on socials just so I know what's going on. I've been struck by the number of social media posts I've seen for people out for Brad Schimmel, for conservative candidate for Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and the number of not just going door to door for Schimmel, but the yard signs they're putting up for local school board candidates. I don't see that happening on the liberal or Democratic side. At least I don't. Maybe it's happening. I don't know. But I would say that we can funnel people that are upset with what's going on in Trump land should funnel that to local elections coming up this spring, because there we really do have a chance to make a difference.
I agree. And I'll just say this. It doesn't excuse, the imbalance that you're seeing right now. But progressives are looking at two viable candidates for state superintendent of public instruction, while conservatives already have their candidate in Brittany Kinzer. And I predict that once either Jeff Wright or incumbent Jill Underly, if they come out of that primary 2 weeks from now, you'll then see a coalescence around that and local candidates and more activity.
All right, come on back. We have Pat Kreitlow on the banks of Lake Wissota packing his bags, his suntan lotion, and his Bermuda shorts. Trigvy Olson, can you loan him some of yours? You were down in Belize. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show right here on a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
When he's not on a pair of ice skates on Lake Wissota, Pat Kreitlow is working
on
his
catamaran.
He's on a catamaran. You can usually hear him every morning from 6 until 8 on Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. He'll be here through Thursday, and then he's crazy enough to let Todd take over the steering wheel for a day. And then Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Monday through Thursday. I'll be back in on Valentine's Day celebrating radio's favorite
love
sweetheart.
Love.
Hey,
love.
Are one of you guys going to invite me to get up early? Either you or Kristen to
just
go on Pat's show?
I
want
to
do that.
I was just getting that to say, while he's here, let's put him on record right now. Trigvy, I got three options for you. One is this Friday when Todd is guest hosting. One and two is next Friday when Todd is guest hosting. And three would be the last week of the month where I also have to take a couple of days off for a Courier Newsroom event. And maybe you would just like to have your own show one of those
mornings. I would do that. You know what? I would take all those options. But don't I get an option where I get to go on with Kristen? Because honestly, if I can't get on and chat with Kristen, that would be my first choice.
I don't know what restraining orders are out there. So I will wait and consult with counsel, and then we'll let you know.
All right. You let me know.
My suggestion was Elise Jordan gets up early for Morning Joe. She'd certainly get up early for you, right, Trigvy? She would come on with you.
She probably would.
Yeah.
Probably would.
I was so thrilled to talk to Elise Jordan for that one day when you guys had, like, you were remote. You didn't have a really strong signal, and Elise was coming on. And so they kept me on air while we got you guys reconnected. And I'm talking to her and telling her, you know, I'm a fan and blah, blah, blah. And oh my goodness, it was like I expected her to go, when are you going to go pick up my dry cleaning, you insignificant person? Can I talk to the real host, please? You know,
she's a great lovely. Person.
Yeah,
I know. She's phenomenal. I'm no Trigvy Olsen is what I'm saying.
You know? Yeah. Well, love is really in the air, folks.
I'll give Elise a shout out. The thing about Elise is that I appreciate so much is she is such a wonderful mentor to my two daughters. You know, we're really good family friends with her and her husband and her little daughter. She's a phenomenal mentor. And in fact, my older daughter is going to be doing some work helping out Elise on her book on Eisenhower and the women who were key.
Can we use that to underscore really quickly here that apart from the issues are the issues, and they're important, don't get me wrong, but the personal context that you make when you do this kind of work in politics or in advocacy or something else, you may not always agree on things, but when you can still be a human being and talk to one another, find those common bonds, realize that away from the TV cameras and things, you know, we're all humans with families that we love. Yeah. The life just gets a little bit easier that way. There's still a lot to fight for. I get that. The things that Trump and company are doing are abhorrent and awful, and they're worth getting upset about. But it doesn't mean you have to be upset every moment of the day. Leave some room in there for kindness, even if you're not seeing eye to eye on things. I didn't mean to go all Dr. Phil on you for the moment, but
no,
you painted a nice picture there, Trigvy, and we need more of that.
Thank you. Yeah, 100%. I feel that way about you guys. Pat and I have been on different sides of politics going back to when we were both at Eau Claire, right? Yeah. Like you were in the College Democrats. I was running the College Republicans. But on a human level, like there's nothing I've enjoyed more than you and I getting to become friends and getting to know your wife and
turns out we're all
just human.
Because
in truth, we have far more in common than we have that divides us. We just have some differences, you know, and quite frankly, we agree on a lot of stuff too.
Like, for example, the importance
of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire that gave us both a shot.
That's right. I like how Todd's very quiet. I was waiting for him to break into what the world needs.
No, I think this is nice. I think this is nice. I was. I don't know whether I should. We have like 3 minutes left. Should I make this turn or not? I guess I'll do it just because it's so. It's one of these things that's a distraction, but I found it so outrageous and actually funny. I thought we'll get your take on this. This is from the Associated Press during a signing ceremony on last Wednesday for the Laken Riley Act. President Donald Trump claimed his administration had, quote, identified and stopped $50 million being sent to Gaza to buy condoms for Hamas.
No.
I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up.
But that's the thing. But he does. And that's why I think I made the point here as well as on my show. And I'm not the first person to make this point. But nobody should ever take anything said from this White House at face value. And reporters fact check anyway. Mm. But even more so now, never just simply say the White House reports or Trump said. No, never do that without checking it first, because the odds are they either got something wrong or they intentionally got something wrong, because that one was a whopper that was immediately disproven. But on right-wing media, it's still spreading out there like crazy.
To fact check it, the facts are the $50 million was a part of money that went to USAID for all sorts of hospital and medical relief. A very small fraction of that was for contraceptives. According to USAID, the procurement of condoms is around 5 cents a piece. At 50 million, that would be 1 billion condoms. Tricky. Yeah.
No, just no.
But here's what I would say to Pat's point. I think you should not take any of the rationale that they give serious. You need to look at that and scrutinize it heavily. Mm-hmm. I think the narratives, though, the narrative pieces that they say, you should take extraordinarily seriously.
Yes.
And that is because that is what they use to drive their base, is the narrative, mm-hmm. not the underlying, the underlying support when the narratives get called out as crazy is really irrelevant to the narratives themselves. And I use this all the time. The war on Christmas literally was one shopping mall in St. Louis, Missouri, mm-hmm. right? And it became a thing where my mom, who always wrote Merry Christmas on her Christmas cards, mm-hmm. was telling me when Trump got elected the first time she could say Merry Christmas again, right? Like that is the piece that has to be taken seriously. But, so,
but just think of 5 cents a pop. Well, for condoms, you know, I mean, Gaza could become the spring break Mediterranean Riviera capital of the world. Pat Kreitlow could be going to Gaza for vacation instead of the Caribbean.
No.
Having been in the Gaza Strip, I don't think you want to go there for vacation.
Right.
It's going to be a while. Right.
Pat, have a lovely vacation. Thanks for letting us take the wheel.
Zommers for the win.
Love it.
We'll see you later.
Back with Trigby after this.
Sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Direct off the Spotify playlist of Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, a little Eagles for you on a Wednesday afternoon, 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, February 5, 2025. Glad to have you along. Thanks to Pat Kreitlow. You can hear him every morning, 6 to 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network of Up North News Radio. And always a pleasure to have our friend, our ongoing contributor, our colleague, Mr. Trigby Olson, like me, a Wisconsin boy, like me, a former Republican, unlike me, much more successful, and lives out in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that honestly, you just totally contradicted yourself on that one.
And now a senior advisor.
More successful would be living in a cabin somewhere up north of Bayfield or Hayward.
That would be
more successful.
Zomers?
Since when is that on Pete Hegseth's playlist? I thought it was on Trigby's playlist. Like, is the song secretly about alcoholism or white nationalism or something?
Seven women on my mind.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, he has several. Hegseth has several women. That's where that came from. All right, Trigby, great to have you here as always. What do you mean? I was on Kreitlow's show this morning, and it's like, what's new? I was watching CBS this morning, or CBS Mornings, whatever they call it now. You've got 5,000 Department of Justice FBI employees who are being shown the door by Trump and his people because they had the audacity to look into the January 6th prosecutions. You have the U.S. Department of Education under attack and on the verge of being closed down. You have the U.S. Agency for International Development being shut down, which is saving millions of lives around the world and all kinds of great U.S. interests, as you well know. You know, you've got government to be, and just, the list goes on and on. And they kind of went through a couple of these headlines, and Gayle King was basically like, in other news, Beyonce did well at the Grammys. I find it disturbing that a lot of people don't want to cover all this stuff. And you and I have talked about distractions. There are all these things, and part of this is distraction. I want to address one of the distractions, and then I want to get into some of the things I think that you and I agree are more the real news. We're going to play one of these cuts. This is Donald Trump yesterday. Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu was in D.C. for a press conference, and seemingly out of the blue, but yet we know it was rehearsed, Donald Trump made an unprecedented announcement.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. Do a real job, do something different. Just can't go back. If you go back, it's going to end up the same way it has for 100 years.
So Trump goes on from there, the Riviera of the Mediterranean and the Middle East, whatever he called it. I mean, essentially, he's viewing it as a place for the next Trump Tower. I'm not exaggerating. He views it as the Middle East Las Vegas. Unprecedented, Trigvi. You're an international person more than I am in terms of having experience in it. I don't know that the U.S. has ever been an aggressor outright of taking over other nations. A, do you think this is actually serious? And B, isn't this just another distraction for what's really important?
Well, I'm a little confused, Todd, because isn't what Donald Trump is calling for here is more foreign assistance and nation building?
Right.
I thought that they were against that.
Yeah, that's what the MAGA conservative agenda has been talking about.
And my question for the people who voted for him, did they vote to have their tax dollars going to Gaza? Or did they vote to have their taxes cut and to get the price of eggs down?
Correct. And also, Trump is not really now putting U.S. military, pardon me, our sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters in uniform, American military, on boots on the ground to secure this and maintain this. Again, I'm not sure that was on the agenda of the MAGA campaign in November.
Yeah, I thought that conservatives were saying they were against foreign aid and nation building. I'm a little confused by that. I wonder if my old Badger Boy State buddy, there was this guy at Badger Boy State who was running for governor who's become kind of a prominent conservative. I wonder if Scott would come on and explain that.
That'd be great. We'd love to have the former governor on anytime.
It really would be good. I mean, he was running. Yeah, because I really don't understand it. And I did see when he was chairing the Trump campaign that he was saying that we had to put America first. I'm not sure why we're putting Gaza first.
It seems a little confusing.
I'm very perplexed by this. I wonder if any of our MAGA listeners could call in and explain that to me. Mm-hmm. I'm just a simple guy from River Falls. I just would love to have some answers.
Right.
I'm confused. I'm inherently right-leaning. Honestly, here's the thing. The whole thing is, it's like invading Panama for the canal, right? Or, I mean, what is this?
Right.
Like, it's not who we are. And honestly, I think he makes most of this stuff, I have to use
thank
stuff,
you. Yeah,
up
thank you.
As he's going along.
You think so?
I've always thought that. I think he just kind of makes it up.
Yeah, it could be.
How's this different than Afghanistan?
Right. It's not. In fact, I would say it's worse from the context that at least, you know, George W. Bush, there was evidence that the Taliban and ISIS was located in Afghanistan. There was actual direct threat to U.S. interests out of Afghanistan. There's no direct threat to the homeland that I know of in Gaza. But that's just me.
Nah, I mean, it makes it more likely that there is a threat to the homeland. Because
right.
What will end up happening is, you know, there'll be a lot of angry people in the Middle East.
I want to get to this though as well, Trigvi, because I went to the Badger basketball game last night, and I came up to the office, and Dan Schaefer was kind enough to help me. We have a column out on the recombobulation area I wrote about my experience with USAID. So I was here late. I was driving home at 12:45 this morning, and I had our station on, and it was a replay of the liberal talk show host Tom Hartman. And somebody was calling in, talking about what's going on in Gaza, and Hartman cuts him off and says, I can make it real simple for you. The fact is the conservatives hate black and brown people. Just and he doubled down on it. And with a broad brush. And I thought this is part of the problem. As much as we criticize 100%. People on the MAGA side, what that kind of talk from the far left, or not, I wouldn't say Tom Hartman is far left, but because when you say that conservatives and paint with a broad brush, quote, hate black and brown people, unquote. I mean, talk to Bob Caston, U.S. Senator, former U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, who helped create the Central American Scholarship Program I talk about in this column and supported USID. I met a lot of folks, Trigby, don't realize that the administrator, the head of USAID under Trump's first term, was former conservative Republican congressman from Wisconsin, Mark Green, who spent his entire life, he and his wife, going around the world and helping kids in Africa and helping them with PEPFAR, helping them with AIDS, helping them be self-sufficient. To make generalizations like that, it just gins up the left, and it doesn't do anything, in my opinion, to get us to a point of understanding.
Yeah, 100%. The Mark Green point is a really salient one for people in Wisconsin, right? Like, if they're actually thinking about this rather than responding sort of subconsciously and not thinking about it, Mark Green was, you know, Elon Musk said it's a criminal organization.
Right.
People in Green Bay in Brown County, who voted for Mark numerous times, I mean, he won overwhelmingly. Mm-hmm. Do they really think that Mark Green would oversee a criminal organization?
Correct.
Like, really? Is that who Mark is? Because Mark is one of the nicest human beings. My wife used to work for Mark. I've known Mark forever, as have you. In fact, I knocked on doors when he ran the first time in his first election, because it was a huge target.
I almost went to work for him after Klug left office.
He's phenomenal. Yeah. But the bottom line is, do you really think he would do that? But that being said, and I hate to be the one who says this, having worked on with USAID around the world, there are things that, quite frankly, expenses and things that are being funded that we should really be revisiting. I have no problem with reviewing foreign aid and looking for places where there might be ways for fraud and abuse. You're going to find some. Is it going to be the panacea that they try and sell it to you, that's enough to just basically solve the budget deficit? It's not. I mean, to really get into those things, you could fire every government worker and you're still not going to balance the budget because of entitlement payments, defense, and interest on the national debt. So,
I agree,
a balance
but,
here.
But there's a way. I mean, this was talked about during the Obama presidency, emerging USAID into the State Department. That's fine.
100%.
That's fine.
100%.
But it's the way that you do it and allowing an unelected, unvetted,
Agreed.
Unsecured person like Elon Musk to do it at a whim. That's not the way we do things in the United States.
Who incidentally was being investigated by whose companies were being investigated by the Inspector General, who they fired from USAID, because guess whose company was getting grants from USAID?
Who, Trigby?
Elon Musk.
I'm shocked. 855-752-4842.
My question is, is he looking at, I bet, you know, one man's aid is another man's waste.
Right. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone line. Dick, listening on WMDX in Madison. Dick, if you can make it quick, please. What say you?
Well, he was so out of bounds yesterday that I'm surprised he didn't thank his friend Beebe for the fine job of demolition he did. And we'll just take it now from here. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine after the Civil War, I brought this up this morning, it sounded like a broken record, if England and France would have came and said to Abraham Lincoln, I'll tell you what, you know, Georgia's a mess, Atlanta's gone, why don't we take that? You won't be able to fix it. And by the way, France, we're going to take back the Louisiana Purchase. Because, you know, you guys, you're a mess right now after your Civil War, so we'll just take that.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Dick. Trigby?
Dick, I'm a little confused. Is that nation building that he's talking about doing there? Because I thought he was against that.
Right. 855-75.
Unfortunately, I don't think Dick was not our MAGA caller who was going to explain it to me.
855-75.
I'm waiting for Scott and Wauwatosa.
Walker. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Gary in beautiful Sussex. Gary, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, you know, I heard about Gaza actually a little bit last night, mostly this morning. I'm a MAGA guy. I'm not sure what he's talking about. from what I heard, he wants to do is he wants to demo the whole country there, Gaza, and then start it all over again and make it into a resort.
Yeah.
And
is that so what you, as a MAGA voter, is that what you want your tax dollars to go for and send our troops over there to do it?
No, I'm against it. I'm confused too.
Right.
That's the thing. I mean, a lot of the stuff I hear from him is very good. This one, I'm not sure, because that's in a very bad area of the world, and whatever investment we have, it's going to be overrun by who knows what. I think we ought to keep our nose out of there. I think that maybe we should kind of help Benjamin Netanyahu. But the thing is, and as far as Netanyahu is concerned, he said that Trump is his best friend, best president he ever had. So I want to help them, but I do not want to build another country or another state, the 51st state there. Which I think that's what he has
yes.
in mind.
Yes. Thanks, Gary.
And you might find this shocking. You and I agree on that completely. Like I as I said, I think examining what we do for aid, but this has been where maybe you and I diverge. I've always thought that when Donald Trump is pushing these kinds of things, he's just trying to play people for idiots. Right? Like you can be in favor of Israel, you can be in favor of trying to address Gaza, but he's just playing people for fools.
Yeah.
I'm glad Gary gets it.
Gary, thanks. Appreciate the call, Gary. Come on back. We'll talk a little bit about Elon Musk. Is he really just a thief? He's an exceptional thief. Come on back. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home.
The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 before the hour, now 8 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Our new theme song for Elon Musk, Rocket Man, by the fantastic Elton John. That was Trigvy's addition to the show. I love it. Well done, Trigvy Olson, senior
Mars
advisor.
Mars ain't no kind of place to raise your kids, all 50 of them in Elon's case, from 17 different women.
Welcome back. Trigvy Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, joins us on a Wednesday. All right, Trigvy, we spent probably too much time on the distraction point. Here's the real deal, what Elon Musk is doing here. While we're all talking about fantasy in Gaza, and by the way, let me just get this out really quickly. The folks that interrupted Vice President Harris with the genocide Joe and everything else during the campaign, the people that decided to vandalize universities, the people that said, but it's the lesser of two evils, so I can't vote. What did you get out of that? Because the way I see it, you didn't get just nothing. You actually got less than nothing. Because you could have had someone that said, we want a two-state solution in Palestine and Israel, but now you helped empower a guy who wants to build the next Trump hotel there. I don't know what Trigvy
is. We're only in week two.
We're in week two. So anyway, but back to the matters at hand. Elon Musk. We talked about this yesterday a little bit. This great piece called Notes on the Crisis by Nathan Tonkis. And he details, and there's more reporting coming out, but not many people are reporting this and talking about it. This guy that schleps for Elon Musk at SpaceX, a SpaceX employee, Marco Ellis, a 25-year-old dude, he now has read and write access for the payment automation manager system and secure payment system at the Bureau of the Fiscal Services. It processes $4.7 trillion of payments to Americans just last year. Trigvy, that would seem to be a bigger issue.
Well, it's 20% of the American economy is now. Yeah, it's a pretty big issue, though, Todd. I will tell you, like, we've been kind of looking at it and testing some stuff around it. There's the popular piece, and this is what they try and distract people with. It's the shiny object, right? Mm. The shiny object is we're going to cut spending. We're going to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. And to do that, we need to know that, know this stuff, where the money's being spent. What they're not telling you is they basically have access now to pretty much all the information that the federal government holds on every individual who has received or made payment to the USG. And that's sort of Bond villain-esque, except if you went in and pitched the people at whatever, I don't know, who makes Bond movies, and said, we're going to have this evil villain who's going to take over the economy of the world's largest, you know, economy, they throw you out because they're like, that's a dumb premise. Even Daniel Craig can't solve that.
But here we are in reality.
Oh, that's Tom Cruise.
That's Tom Cruise, yeah.
He couldn't solve it either. Jack Bauer, though, might be able to.
Right. I just find it disturbing. And the fact that this guy, you know, Trigvy, you've worked in government at high levels. You've had certain levels of security clearance over the years, worked internationally.
Oh, I haven't ever heard of security clearance.
Oh, you haven't? Oh. But you understand how difficult this is. I mean, we were both.
Yeah, I do. I know a lot of people.
I mean, you and I were both congressional staffers. You higher than me.
Yeah.
But as a congressional staffer, whether it's Mitch McConnell or Scott Klug, you can't just walk into any government agency and say, show me everything. They'll throw you out.
No.
And that's yeah. It's even worse with Musk because he doesn't even work for any elected official. I guess Trump has hired him or whatever. This guy hasn't been elected. He hasn't gone through security clearance. He hasn't been vetted. He hasn't been congressionally confirmed. This is like any one of us from Wisconsin, from Sheboygan, walking in and saying, show me everything.
That's, I think the better analogy is if you're a MAGA and you're thinking about this, you have to ask yourself, if Joe Biden had said, I'm sending George Soros over to the Treasury to take over the payment, what would the outrage be like? Fox News would be blowing a gasket. What would Sean Hannity
and
be
rightly
saying
so.
About that? That's, and rightly so. That's what you have to ask yourself. At the end of the day, what you need to ask yourself, and people aren't doing this enough. People in the United States have lost the capacity to put themselves in general, I think, in other people's shoes. That's the part of the problem. So put yourself always ask yourself, how would you feel if the other side were doing this? If George Soros and Joe Biden were doing this? And then if you say that's wrong, then it's wrong if your side's doing it.
Yep. 100%.
And you can try and rationalize it 17,000 million different ways. People are incredibly good at irrationalizing the irrational. Mm-hmm. But that's the bottom line. And you know deep down that that's the case. You have to ask yourself with all the rhetoric that you're hearing, if the other side were saying or doing this, what would I be saying?
Correct. And I can't add anything to it. That's just the best way to do it. People are, what is it, a minute and a half left here, Trigvy? 1 minute. Thank you, Zomers. People keep asking, what can we do? Because people are feeling helpless and hopeless right now, Trigvy. What can we do either locally or what can we do to make a difference as Wisconsinites?
Yeah, I mean, people have to speak out. You have to not be afraid to say to people, this is wrong. But the most important thing, I think, as you're having conversation, people, is asking them questions and posing those questions in the same way. If Joe Biden and George Soros, if he had sent George Soros, how would you feel about this?
Right.
It's not about preaching.
Correct.
It's about asking questions and getting people to question themselves, right and wrong.
Quick prediction, Super Bowl, Chiefs or Eagles?
Going with Taylor Swift, baby.
Yes! Me too. I'm on it. All right.
I hope he proposes.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
I'm such a sap. It's the only cultural thing I know.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.